Grace you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the verses of Psalm 8, David wrote these words. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. Psalm 139, David wrote these words. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Finally, in Genesis chapter 1, we have recorded these words. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Why do I start off with these verses about the wonder of mankind? Because so often, too often, I hear people besmirch humanity after they have fallen prey to some temptation by saying, I'm only human. They blame their failures and their sin on their humanity instead of their own weakness of will. Unless they don't, in fact, they can't be held accountable or responsible for their sin because it is simply a result of their flawed existence. But that is not what the Bible teaches. In fact, it's a great insult and a great affront to God. For to criticize humanity is to criticize God, who made us in his image, who fearfully and wonderfully made us, who crowned us with glory and made us rulers over everything that he had made. Indeed, God even had his own son to be made in human likeness. And so, to denigrate the species of man as something that is flawed in his creation and doomed to fail by virtue of his very existence is blasphemy in the highest order. The problem with mankind does not exist with our essence, nor our substance, but with our sin. Adam and Eve were only human before they sinned. And yet God saw that they were very good. Jesus was fully human. And yet Isaiah tells us that he never did any violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And when Jesus returns to this earth to raise us from the dead on the last day, he will raise each of us as complete human beings. And we will live out eternity with God as the people of God. So let me say it again. There is absolutely nothing wrong with being human. Our problem is not our humanity, but our sin. And a big problem it is. Sin has so polluted and corrupted and saturated itself into our existence that most folks can't even tell where their humanity ends and their sin begins. And thus they blame their faults and their failures on their humanity. They make themselves out to be helpless victims of a condition which is synonymous with their existence. And to that defeated, helpless victim mentality, I state these words of our text in Hebrews today, because he himself, namely Jesus, suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. You don't have to be the unwitting victim of your sinful condition. You don't have to give in to temptation simply because it presents itself. You have the power and you have the will to say no, because you are a child of God. You have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in you. The Spirit of the one who said no to all sin. The Spirit of the one who is tempted in every way that we are, who suffered when he was tempted, and yet who never gave in to those temptations. You have the Spirit of the one who died on a cross and who rose from a grave to forgive you and to give you the victory over sin. You have the Spirit of him living in you. In Titus 2, Paul wrote that the grace of God that brings us salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. In Ephesians 1, Paul mentioned the incomparably great power that is available to us who believe. He says that power which is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. The power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is working in you as a child of God. To give in to sin without so much as the least amount of resistance is to completely underestimate the power of God that is in you. You've been called into a relationship with Jesus Christ through faith. You've been called into that relationship so that you can live a life that is different than the way that the people in the world live. In a way that walks in the newness of life. In a way that resists temptation. And that turns your back on wrongdoing. If we are simply helpless victims who will by necessity always succumb to temptation, then why is God's word full of direction and instruction and exhortation to do the right thing? What kind of God do you think we have? If he calls us to live in a way that he knows that we can't do it anyway, if he's not going to empower us to do that. As we stay connected to Jesus by his word, and we stay connected to him by receiving the sacrament of his body and his blood, he enables us, empowers us to take our stand against the devil's schemes and to resist the temptations that come our way. And yet, no matter how close we are to Jesus, no matter how strong we are in our faith, the reality is that we will each, at some point, give in to temptation. But not because we are human. but rather because of our sinful nature. King David is described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. Only person in all Scripture described like that. And yet David gave in to the lusts of his sinful nature. The disciples spent 3 years in an intimate relationship with Jesus, living with him, listening to him, learning from him. And yet in pride, they argued about who was the greatest among them. Paul was a Hebrew among Hebrews, zealous for the law, the apostle to the Gentiles, chosen and called by Christ himself. And yet the good that he wanted to do, he couldn't all the time do. In fact, he says that sometimes the very thing that he knew was wrong and that he wanted to avoid, that's the thing he'd do. Why? Because he was only human? No. Paul states it clearly, because of the sin living in him. So while we, through faith in Christ Jesus, do gain some power over temptation, we are never going to master it entirely. Not as long as we live in this world. Not as long as we live in this sin-infected existence. And thus, your salvation and my salvation will never come as a result of our righteousness, but always and only because of Jesus' forgiveness. We cannot, even with the power of God living, dwelling, surging through us, we can never earn eternal life. For even with the Spirit of God living in us and empowering us, the Spirit of God praying for us and helping us, our sinful nature will, at times, still get the best of us. And that's why Jesus died on a cross. Because only his forgiveness will earn us salvation. May we thus live each day of our lives leaning on Christ's power to resist temptation and relying on Christ's forgiveness when we give in to temptation. To God and God alone be the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.